Good evening, everyone. Hope everyone is doing great. So Dina keeps texting me right now, telling me that my picture is lagging. Is that true? But is it okay? Can you guys hear me okay? Can you guys see me okay? All right, so it's just Dina. All right. See, I told you guys, you didn't believe me before. So
Al literally just said that it was lagging.
Who?
Albert. Just said it was
Albert
lagging.
Gave me, he said it's good. He did this.
All right. You guys wanna lie to him, that's fine. That's all I'm gonna say tonight. Have fun.
Let's get back to the Bible study and we'll talk about this later. So last week I had a challenge for you. And I had a challenge, the same challenge for myself. Who remembers that challenge? Raise your hand. No one? No one? Nothing? All right, so let's call it a day. Lord, we thank you for this Bible study. Good night. Oh, okay. Delia. Thank you, Delia. I was about to end the meeting right now. The challenge was, if you go back chapter 8, and you will see how the king was talking to Mordecai and Esther and said, didn't I give you the authority? Didn't I give you the signet ring? Didn't I give you the house of Haman? Didn't I kill him for you? I gave you everything you need. Why aren't you taking advantage of it? And that spoke to me personally because God has done everything for us that we need. God paid our debt. God gave us freedom, gave us weapons, gave us everything we need to defeat our enemy. Go ahead and write. Go ahead and proclaim. Go ahead and profess. Go ahead and take what's yours. If God said, I am giving you this land, he already gave us the land. Just go ahead and possess that land. Go ahead and take that land. You know, and the first thing that Mordecai did, something amazing that shows us what a humble and wonderful man he is. When he heard that, he went and gathered all the politicians. He summoned all the secretaries. He summoned everyone. He said, okay, I have a problem, but I have a blessing at the same time. Teach me how, show me how I can use the blessing to fix my problem. You know, and I pray that as individuals and as families, we can be that humble, or we can realize that we do have problems in our lives. But that's not the full story. The full story is that we also have blessings, that, and we also have solutions to those problems. And those problems are coming because we went away a little bit from God. But God in his mercy is giving us still those solutions. And if we don't know how to use it. Let's ask, let's pray, let's talk to someone about how we can get these problems taken care of with the solutions God has given us. And we see that Mordecai had a new law written, and it was delivered by the king's carriers who rode on horses that were bred specially for the king. And so quickly the word went out and the joy overtook the cities and every place that the letter was received. And the challenge that I had for myself, the challenge I had for you, is to start writing, start proclaiming, and start, you know, saying some of these promises over our lives. I told you one of the practical ways that I do, if you look at my calendar, and I can take a screenshot and send it to you one day. If you look at my calendar on my phone, I literally have the whole day. Let me show you. I have the whole day, almost every hour or so. I don't know if you can see it. I have a verse and that's like associated with that hour. So for example, I start my day in the morning at 5 o'clock, 5 a.m., 5:17. I have a verse from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:17. So I get an alarm. My phone actually rings at 5:17 that says, if anyone in Christ is a new creation. So I take that And I take that alert, I take that alarm and say, Lord, today I am a new creation. Today I am, you're going to do something new in my life. Today I am proclaiming this over my life, over my kids, over my wife, over my work, over everything I do. Today you are giving me a new day because I am new in you. At 7:10, I get a, at 7:10, I get an alert that says, you know, from Micah 7:10, that says, my enemy will see and will be covered with shame. This who asked me, where is your God? And this is, I love that verse, because I always tell the enemy, do you see where my God is? Do you see who my God is? I proclaim these verses. It gives me energy. It gives me a push throughout the day. These are the promises. These are the treasures that God lift me. And I would be I would not be doing myself a favor for not using these promises and these great treasures that God had God has available for me. Today we start chapter 9, so we're almost there. So the first verse, if you have your Bibles, let's start with Esther chapter 9, verse 1. On the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, the edict commanded by the king was to be carried out. On that day, the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overcome them. But now the tables were turned and the Jews got the upper hand over those who hated them. Do you guys remember when we talked about that day, what a horrible day that was when Haman sent the letter that sent the first letter that on that day, the 13th day of the 12th month, that all the Jews are going to be killed, okay? But a new letter was given, a new law was given that the Jews will have the right to assemble. That's what we talked about last week. You have the right to assemble, and you have the right to defend yourself. So on that day, okay, this is a day, and if you want to write this down with me, this is a day where the Jews were supposed to be just accepting their fate. They were supposed to be just sitting there and taking what's coming to them. But instead, it turned into a day of them becoming an army that's united to fight for their lives. Well, God, you have done everything for us. You paid our debt. You died on the cross to pay our debt. You forgave us. You gave us everything we need. Why can't you just fight for us? Well, he does fight for us, but he needs us to be involved in that fight, because the day we don't fight is the day we surrender to the enemy and the day we fall. If you go back to the story of David, David was a warrior. He was a mighty warrior for God. He fought the lion. He fought the bear. He fought Goliath. He fought the Palestinians. He fought everyone. But let me ask you a question. What happened to David the day he decided not to fight and stayed back home? He went to the roof, saw a woman taking a shower or taking a bath, and he committed adultery that day. The day we don't fight is the day we fall. It's not a day where we have a peaceful, treaty with the enemy. No, the enemy never takes a second off. The day we don't fight is the day we fall. So this is the day when they were supposed to be just sitting there waiting for their death, waiting to accept their death. But instead, God turned it into the day that they are going to unite and they're going to fight for themselves. And let me tell you, every day we go through is that day for us. Every day, God gives me enough weapons to go out and fight. Every day, God gives me enough promises and enough power and enough strength. It's not my power. It's not my strength. It's not my weapons. It's all His. But He wants me to take that first step and go out to fight. If you go back to Judges 6 and 7, you will hear this amazing story of Gideon, who started, leading Israel. And the Midianites, like people around them, wanted to raise a war against them. And Gideon was like scared of the fight. But God said, no, go ahead, you will fight and you will take it. And he had, he had a good number of people, not enough comparing to what the enemy had. And God said, no, sorry, you have a lot of people with you. So ask people, if you want to go home, if you're scared and want to go home, you can go home. And a lot of people left him. And then God said, no, that you still have too many. And again, we're talking about a ratio of 1 to 10 or 1 to 20. But still, God said, that's too many. Then God tells them, why don't you go into the water? I want to see those who want to drink water, but still have the spear or the sword in their hand, and those who give up their weapon and to drink some water. Only 300 men who took water like this, but kept in the other hand their weapon. These are the people that are ready to fight. These are the people that don't want to take a chance for one second while they're taking a drink, you know, that the enemy might come. These are the people that are ready every second of the day for battle. You and I have no choice but to be ready for battle. The Israelites, people who didn't have that privilege, understood on that day that it is a privilege to fight. It is a privilege from God to give us the power to stand up to our enemy and to say, I have enough promises. I have enough power. I have enough from God to make me stand up to you and to defeat you. It was the day they were supposed to die. Instead, they saw the death of their enemy. So first, it was the day they were supposed to accept their fate. But instead, nope, we're going to fight. I'm not gonna take what you're giving me. I am fighting for something new today. I am fighting for victory. I am not accepting defeat. I am proclaiming victory. Go ahead and say that in your heart right now, or saying out loud. Say, I am not accepting defeat today. I am proclaiming victory. Okay. It was a day where they were supposed to end, where they were supposed to die, but instead, God helped them, and their enemy died. Go back to Exodus 14. You will see the story of Moses and the people of God. When they were right in front of the sea and Pharaoh and his armies are coming behind them, Moses said to the people, listen to this, do not be afraid. I pray that you would have that promise today. Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the deliverance the Lord bring you today. Okay? Highlight this word, today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need to only be still. The Lord will fight for you. Today was supposed to be the day they were going to die, but instead, today was the day their enemy died. Today, the enemy was supposed to destroy you. The enemy was supposed to steal something from you today. Today was the day the enemy was supposed to take something so dear to you. But instead, in Jesus' name, today you're going to break some of his big walls and you're going to take something from him. You're going to restore something back. Say amen. You're going to take something back that was stolen from you today. Instead of losing something from what you have, you're going to take something that he had taken from you before. Say amen to that. I am proclaiming that over our life today, in Jesus' name. Today was supposed to be a different day for them. They were supposed to be the underdog. Remember? Everyone was going to come, was going to come against them. But instead, to that day, if you read the verse again, or you as you're going to see in that chapter, the tables were turned. And they have the upper hand. Today, let me tell you something that you probably didn't hear before. And I really try to remind myself that I am no longer an underdog. I am no longer weak. I am no longer incapable of fighting. I have the same power that raised Jesus from the grave. And that same exact power will raise a warrior from your heart. We'll raise a warrior that will go out and fight and take that's what the Lord has given us. in Deuteronomy 33, 26, there is this beautiful, beautiful verse that says, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun. There you go. Who rides across the heavens to what? To help you. Who rides across the heavens to help you and on the clouds in his majesty. God, the Almighty God, listen to this. Listen to this, and I think this can help your self-esteem because it really helps mine. You know, I think this can give you a push that you need for this fight. God, with all of his power and might, is coming specifically to help you. What can Goliath do to you? What kind of mountain can stand against you? What kind of storm or wave can overtake you when the Lord Almighty is coming, riding on clouds, coming across heavens to help you? One of the greatest stories in the Bible, or all the Bible is full of great stories, but when Elisha, when the king of Aram sent all these armies to arrest Elisha, and Elisha and his servant Gehazi was scared, he said, Lord, help him see that what we have with us is more than what they have with them. His fight wasn't against the soldiers of the king of Aram. His fight was against the demons, the enemy. That's his fight. Even though you have the whole power, the whole kingdom of darkness coming against you, but what you have with you is much stronger, much bigger, much larger than what you have against you. You are no longer an underdog. Say that. Can you say that to someone next to you? We're not underdog. We're not poor. We're not incapable. We're not weak. We're not any of that. We have the strength of the Lord in us. And then it was a day when the enemy's plan, when Haman's plan, evil plan, was supposed to be executed. But instead, it was the day that Mordecai's prayers came through. In Proverbs 19, it says, many are the plans in a person's heart. Many. But it is the Lord's purpose or the Lord's plan that prevails. I don't want you to worry about what other people are planning for you. I don't want you to worry about what the enemy is planning for you, because you and I already know his plans. His plans are to kill, steal, destroy, annihilate. He can plan, and he can put his plan in people's hearts. But at the end, whose plan and whose purpose is going to prevail? It's the Lord. And on that day, we saw whose plan will prevail. You know, we all have that day in our life. Can you think of a day when your grave was changed to a garden, when your mourning was turned into dancing, when your sackcloth, Mordecai wore sackcloth, when your sackcloth was turned into the clothing of joy? The clothing of joy is like the clothing a groom would wear. Instead of being covered in sadness, it's that day. If I ask you to write down something right now, do you have one of those days? Do you remember God doing something in your life? Do you remember God coming through for you? And instead of that day being a day of a disaster, a day of sadness, a day of the enemy being in complete control, it's a day where God showed up and showed out. Is that the correct thing? When God really, you know, flexed his muscles. When God was like, I'm here. And I'm like, all right, I see you, God. I see, you know. Do you have that day? You know, I can honestly go on for hours and hours and hours to talk to you about one thing after another where God showed up for me and showed out for me. It was that day when the enemy meant for evil and God turned it for good. You know, and then we have the difference between our hope and the hopes of the enemy. And Pastor Albert was sharing with us that their hope is like, I wish I can have a hamburger right now. That's the worldly hope, you know. But the Christian hope, the godly hope is, it's a certainty. Oh, we hope, it's not like, oh, I wish this can happen. No, I hope and I know that this is going to happen. I know that God is going to deliver. I know that God is going to do something. And Romans 5:5, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Your hope in God will never disappoint you. If you're hoping for today to be a new day, if you're hoping for today to be a different day, be sure and have faith that it will be that day. It will be that testimony. It will be that day and that you will witness about for the rest of your life. And Proverbs 10:28, it says, the hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. This is very much sums up that very verse that we talked about. I could have just read this verse and shut up for the last 20 minutes, but you know me. It just gives you the whole story. The wicked hoped for that day to destroy the Jews, but the righteous, you know, hoped for something different, and God's will prevailed. We have so many stories in the Bible. We have, Pastor Mike shared with us the story of Balaam and Balak. You know, great names if you're going to have children soon. Balaam and Balak. How the tables were turned, you know. King Balak, in Numbers 23, you can go back and read the story. In Numbers 23, King Balak hired this prophet, his name is Balaam, to come and curse the Jews because he was scared of them, because they were coming over and they were just very much taking all the land. And so the King Balak hired Balaam to come and curse them, right? And God said, go, but don't say anything other than what I tell you. And Balaam ended up blessing the Jews instead of cursing them. So Numbers 23:11, it says, King Balak said to Balaam, what have you done to me? I brought you to curse my enemies, but you have done nothing but blessing them. Balaam answered, must I not speak what the Lord puts in my mouth? And this is what the Lord is putting on my mouth today for you. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will keep you. The Lord will fill you with joy. The Lord will switch your day today. The Lord will switch your testimony today from mourning to dancing, from sadness to joy. The Lord will give you that day because he's given us that day today. And Philip mentioned again that chapter, this whole chapter is full of timing. And even though God's name was not mentioned once, but God was behind the scene in every single second, not one second, God was not on the throne. Not one second, God left things out of control. But his timing was perfect in everything. I want you to take another challenge today. I'm going to keep challenging you until then. We have only like a few weeks to be done, okay? So just put up with me, just like you did for the last few weeks or last few months. Take another challenge today, okay? And write something down after we're done with the meeting. Actually, my part is done, so if you guys want to hang up, that's fine. Anyway, just kidding. That was a joke. No one got it. So write something down after the meeting where it was an incident or is a situation or is a day or something where it was supposed to happen that way, but God completely turned it and changed it for your own good. Again, if it wasn't for time, I would sit here and share with you day after day, situation after situation, one thing after another, where God came and showed up and showed out for me. Amen. You guys will take that challenge? You will write something today, even if it's just one thing, but you will write something today. You promise? All right, so let's go to the following part when the Jews assembled in their cities, and we will have James take us through that.
Okay. The next part tells us that the Jews assembled in their cities and all the provinces of King Xerxes to attack those determined to destroy them. No one could stand against them because the people of all the other nationalities were afraid of them. And all the nobles of the provinces, the satraps, the governors, and the king's administrators helped the Jews because fear of Mordecai had seized them. So what they did here, instead of being scattered among the nations, which is what they were destined to do, it's what the consequence of their actions would be at this moment. They don't seem like a scattered people. Now, wherever they are, they're uniting. They're coming together and creating a united army. When Jesus spoke to Peter and told him, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it," it's the same thing here. Nobody could stand against them. Nobody can stand against Jesus. Nobody can stand against our rock, and nobody can stand against his people either, even in this case. Despite all the attacks that the enemy throws our way, he cannot stand against us. No one could stand against them. And at this point, they're on the offensive, but they're not on the offensive just arbitrarily. They're gathering together to attack those who are determined to destroy them, and only those. It wasn't about a particular race or some kind of certain person or certain people or certain background. It says the people of all nationalities, anybody who was determined to destroy them. It was only those who had that in their mind. But no matter who they were, they couldn't stand against them. And it gives us a couple of reasons why. One was fear of what was done to them. Another was fear of what happened to Haman. And now you've got all the king's servants helping them. And finally, it says you've got the fear of Mordecai. Now that he has a place of authority and he is one of the Jews, he is one of the people there. All of these things came from the king. All of these things came from the one who was determined to help them, the one who had chosen to protect them. And when it comes to a conflict like this, when it comes to God's kingdom, there are only two sides. Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. And it's not me, it's us. Right? He said, whoever is not with us is on our side. So we can't be with the king. We can't claim to be with the king and say we're against some of his people or one of his people. It doesn't work that way. If you're with the king, you're with the people that he chooses to protect. And if you're against his people, then you're against him. He takes it personally, and he makes it clear throughout the Bible that there are only two sides. No one can come in between the king and his people. No one can come in between God and the church. There's no room there. He has chosen to protect us, chosen to call us. So if we're with him or with them, if we're against them, we're against him. And this fear that the nations have of them, there are two ways it can go, right? When our enemies are afraid of us, when they see God's power, they can either join us or they can keep fighting to their own death, to their own detriment. A simple example is when Jericho heard of all that Israel had done, when Jericho heard that all God did on behalf of Israel for the wars that they won, for what happened as they left Egypt, it tells us that they were all afraid. They were all scared. They shut themselves down to avoid being attacked and destroyed by Israel. But there was one woman in there who said, okay, I could do that. I could just tremble in fear and hide and run away, and you know, I'd be destroyed at the same time. Or I can come and change my allegiance, change my way, change the direction I'm facing, and say, I'm going to support this God that I've lived so long afraid of, that I've been in fear of this whole time. And that's the goal. That's what God wants. He wants us. He wants everyone to reconcile with him and turn and face him. So this fear that came upon them, it's good, but it's better if they respond the right way, if they respond by turning and facing him. And a great thing about this trial that they're going through, this battle that the Jews were facing at the time, is that if it weren't for this battle, if it weren't for this command, they probably wouldn't have had as much pressure to come together. Up until this point, they've just been scattered. They've been just there. You've got, you know, Jews here and Jews there in all of these provinces. There's just kind of a few here and a few there. Now that this battle was here, now that the struggle was here, they came together to unite. And once they united, nothing could stand against them. And the Bible tells us, no weapon that's formed against you will prosper. It's the same thing for us. Because the cross is the greatest weapon and has overcome any weapon the enemy can come against us with, is established our victory. Our victory is complete. There's no longer anything that can stand against us, especially when we're united, when we come together. And the thing that brings us together the most often is this adversity, is this struggle, this trial. So if I take my rightful position, and if I come together with my brothers and sisters, there's nothing that we can't overcome through Christ.
Thank you, James. Sorry, go ahead.
Unity, when we all come together, if in our human nature, somebody is left behind, somebody is not part of the group.
James, are you done? Sorry.
I will go after that lost one. I'm the good shepherd. I don't leave anyone. So if 99 are united...
We are having technical difficulties.
For whatever reason is going on earth...
Okay, so let me go to the following verse. When Mordecai was prominent in the palace, his reputation spread throughout the provinces, and he became more and more powerful. And remember who Mordecai is, okay? And as James was just sharing with us right now, that some of the courage they had, some of the that push they had was because of Mordecai, because of what he has done. So let me go to Philip, and he will take us through this verse.
Hi, everyone. So if you remember in the beginning of the book, the normal place of Mordecai was outside the palace. The normal place of Mordecai is to stand outside while all the nobles and the leaders of the nation, like Haman and others, coming inside the palace, having a fellowship with the king and having conversation meetings and stuff, and he's standing there or sitting there. But now, as we heard, the table were turned, and now he is his residence, his place is inside the palace with the king's presence and having this wonderful relationship, wonderful reputation going on. And his story is becoming more and more known all over the nations, and the fear of God in him is spreading more and more. And he's becoming more and more powerful, and God is rewarding his faithful in the small things. You remember he was responsible for a little girl named Esther, and he was faithful, and God rewarded his faithfulness by bringing him to this place of authority, this place of influence, not only in his family, but all over the nations. And it's amazing, if you look at his story, it's like a small story of Joseph, how he, Joseph was sold as a slave, and he was mistreated and misjudged, and, being in prison falsely, and all these kind of things, And finally, God is rewarding his faithfulness by putting him in a position as second in command in the whole, in the most powerful nation on earth at that time, which is Egypt. Until now, Egypt is the most powerful. No. So it's just how the story is very similar to the story of Joseph. In not only in one province, and not only one city. It's, remember, the kingdom of the king Ahasuerus was spread from India to Kush, 127, and all this, those places, he has authority and power. And God reminded me with this verse from Job 8:7, though your beginning was small, yet your latter end would increase abundantly. This is from New King James. NIV says this, the same verse is, your beginning will seem humble, so prosperous will your future be. And Assam was challenging us that remember something that happened to you, that God turned it, the enemy meant for evil, but God turned it to good. And I remembered, I shared this story with you. That day I was working for a mechanic shop, and the guy was teaching me how to change oil. And I was always confused where to turn the knob, right or left. And I was so confused when I'm under the car, I don't know where to turn it. And I turn it suddenly, and the car was so hot and the oil spread on my eye and my hair. This is why I lost this part. and it was so painful time, because in a second I remembered all what I had in the mission field. I was a leader, have a wonderful house, and have a wonderful life. And in this moment I felt like the enemy saying, look where you are now, and look what you're doing now. You're covered with dirty oil under a car, and you lost everything. You're just a failure. And that moment, I was so depressed, because all the things that I lost, and all the ta'ir, yani, ta'ir, huh?
Put down
of the enemy to my life when I was under the car covered by oil. And at that moment, believe me, I'm not making this up, I heard the word from God saying, I am with you. When I heard this word, and I know the voice of the Lord, when I heard this voice saying, I am with you, really, instead of hot, the weather was so hot, and I am under a car, it was so hot, sweating, dirty, oil everywhere. And when I heard this voice saying, I am with you, I felt like as if you opened air condition, cool air came and cooled the atmosphere surrounding me. I felt God's presence. For me, Mordechai here was permanent, was living or going inside the palace of the king. For me, the palace of the king, the presence of the king was under a car. Did the situation change? No, the oil was covering my hair, my eyes. The situation is the same, but the presence of God was there, and the assurance and the hope that I had. And it's this moment I had no doubt that I'm in the right place. Because since I moved here, I was doubting, am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing by leaving full-time ministry and doing work, normal work? And I was doubting. At that day, God used this situation to assure me that I'm in the right place. under a car covered with oil, but I'm in the right place, doing the right thing. You know? And God turned what the enemy meant for evil to be for my good. I believe it. I believe that God turned that day, God turned the good, the evil thing to good. The good thing about Mordechai, that yes, his beginning was small, humble, but he was faithful in what he had. He didn't seek high places. He didn't seek anything. What he reached now, that he has authority over the kingdom, is a reward from God. That, you know what? You didn't seek anything. You were just faithful in what I gave you. Let me add to you, because when you seek God's kingdom first, all these will be added to you. Yeah. So be faithful in the small, Mordechai, and I will. You don't focus on the earthly things. Seek first God's kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Even if the situation continue the same hardship, just be faithful in the small things that God is giving you today. Small things, be faithful in it. Even if it's a small beginning, just be faithful in it. And God will be with you in it, no matter how long it is. Just wait for the Lord. Amen. God bless you.
I mean, you know what Philip just shared with us, because of Mordechai, because of his faithfulness, he was able to bring God into a godless palace or a godless city or a godless country. Because of his connection with God, he was able to do that. And you and I have the power to do that as well. We have the power to be not just more like Mordechai. We have the power to be like Jesus in our workplace, in our neighborhood, in our churches. I can certainly tell you, I know Philip is definitely in the right place, because since him and Rola and the kids moved here, I can witness and say that our lives have changed. You know, our everything have changed because of them. And because of Mordechai, so many lives were changed. Because of Philip, so many lives were changed. Because of Pastor Albert's obedience, so many lives were changed. And because of you and I, we can also affect our surroundings, and we can change lives as well. Let's, because we're running out of time, so let me go to Pastor Albert for the following verse, and he will walk us through the fight that they had.
So because
you know he loves fighting, so I'll let him handle it.
So because they have received letters, because the Jews knew that Mordechai is on their side and he became prominent and he received instruction from the king, and they have written documentation that they have the ability to defend themselves. It says here that the Jews struck down all their enemies with the sword, killing and destroying them. And they did what they pleased to those who hated them. In the citadel of Susa, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. It's very, very specific. And so this fight was against the people that hated them, because they're not the ones doing the hating. They're the ones simply responding to what is happening to them, which brings up an interesting point. When we talk about spiritual warfare today, who are our enemies? We need to begin to identify who our enemies are. Our enemies are never people. They're never individuals. People within our family, people within our circle of friends or neighborhood or school or job, those are never our enemies. Our enemies are basically three: Satan, who's a defeated foe; the world, meaning there's a system that the world wants us to go follow; and there's also our own flesh, our old sin nature. These are the enemies that are trying to come against us. And so we have weapons that God has given us to be able to fight and to win this. And the weapons basically that we have are the word of God, which is the sword of the spirit, because it says here they struck them down with the sword. So we have the sword of the spirit, and we have prayer, because it tells us that they overcame him by the blood of the lamb. That's in chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the lamb and the word of their testimony. So we have the word of God, and we're declaring this word of God, and we're declaring our own testimony, because as we heard the example, and I'm sure each of us here may have their own example, God has done certain things with us. He has carried us through and carried us from, as Assam said, from the grave to the garden. So not only are we quoting scripture of people who are in the Bible, but we also have God doing things in our own life. And so we can declare, hey, I was once lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I can see. I was once going in one direction, and God has changed my life into a different direction. And the same God who began with me didn't bring me this far to drop me off now. He who began a good work with me is faithful to complete it until the end. God is able and more than able to do what he has promised to do. And in the book of Romans, in chapter 16, it says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. He has been defeated, he is being defeated, and he will be defeated, that is, in the future. And we fight by, again, the word of God, by prayer, but also by our daily walk and our reaction. We need to begin to watch and be careful. How are we walking every day? What is our reaction to circumstances of life on every single day basis? Because that indicates who or what we're really believing on the inside. How I respond to a situation, how I respond to a problem, how I respond to a challenge indicates what I really believe. If I'm responding in a negative way, I shouldn't feel bad or feel condemnation. I should bring that back to God and say, help show me some truth here, because you give me victory. I'm seeing there's some defeat in my life, but you've promised me victory. Show me what is missing in my life, and show me the truth so that I can walk in absolute freedom.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were still talking. But you know, one of the things that are amazing, it says the Jews. It didn't say the Jew. It didn't say one person. It was work of a group. And remember what we shared earlier, as James shared, they assembled, they united, they helped each other. Okay. So if there is a weakness, as Pastor Albert said, if there is a weakness in your life and you feel like you're defeated in this area and you can't do it by yourself, ask someone for help. Ask someone to show you the way. Ask someone to keep you accountable. Ask someone to, you know, to go through their own experience with these certain things, so we can help each other. So at the end of the day, as brothers and sisters, as church, we can defeat, you know, as one body. When I say church, I don't mean just Arise. I say that church. We can defeat our enemy. We're going to end with verse 7 to 10, and Pastor Mike is going to take us through that.
Amen. So in verse 7, it says that they killed, and we're not going to name them for the sake of time, but it says that they killed the 10 sons of Haman, the sons of Hammedatha, the enemy of the Jews, but they did not lay hands on their plunder. So it shows here that they are eliminating all the sons of Haman. They didn't only eliminate Haman, but they eliminated all the sons. These are the sons that he was bragging about. You know, he was prideful about them. So it's a picture of being careful of the stuff you're bragging about, the things that were special to him. He lost all these things, right? He's talking to everybody about how great and everything. He lost all these things. But we see, as we learned before, that Haman was a picture of the flesh, represents the flesh. And we talked about bowing down and how Mordecai didn't bow down. But we see here a picture to me of dying to the flesh completely. The Lord shows us sometimes issues in our life, things in our life, and sometimes we want to keep them around. Sometimes we want to hide them. But we're to get rid completely of all these things that are hurting us, that are attacking us, right? That want to destroy us. Haman wanted to destroy him, so he destroyed him. But it's also a picture of those that may come after him and those that may come back later on with vengeance. They completely annihilated and just got rid of all of that lineage. If you guys remember with King Saul, he was supposed to get rid of a certain people, and we learned that Haman comes from them, right? King Agag, he was supposed to get rid of them. The Amalekites, he was supposed to get rid of them, and he didn't, right? We see that he took the plunder and spared the people, and we see here the complete opposite. Right, it says that they killed the people, those that were against them, right? It says that they killed them, but they did not take the plunder. So right here, we see a pic. It was just them defending themselves. It was a picture of self-preservation, right? They weren't in it for the plunder. They wanted to protect themselves against those that were attacking them, right? They assembled together, as we learned, and they came against those that were attacking, those that hated the Jews. And so they came to and they annihilated everybody, right? So it's the opposite of what of the mistake King Saul had done in the past, where he was supposed to do this, and now generations later, it's finally happening, right? So it's a reminder to us that when the Lord shows us something, reveals something to us that may be hurting us, causing harm to us, not only to us, but we're going to see to our families and those after, right? We're to put an end, ask the Lord for the help. Lord, please help me. But like I said, it shows just self-preservation here. But this day of victory, and just to wrap it up, this day of victory that we see here, where they finally had their victory over those that hated them, those that looked to destroy them, is a reminder of the parable of the lost sheep in Matthew 18, where Jesus says, leaving the 99 for the one that stayed behind, right? It says, for the one that is straying, the Bible tells in 18:12, it says, leaves for the one that is straying. And the Jews here were a people that chose, if you guys remember, to stay behind. This was a people that did not go with Nehemiah, did not go, right? They did not leave as they were supposed to. They stayed behind for whatever reason. And yet still, we see that the Lord moves on their behalf, right? We talked about timing. We talked about what the Lord is doing in the background, the Lord always in control, right? But he's doing it for a people that chose to stay behind, right? In Matthew 18:14, it says that none of these little ones should perish. That is his desire, right? Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven, and none of these little ones should perish, right? So it's a great reminder. It's an encouragement for us that his desire is that nobody should perish. Yes, there was pressure. Yes, there was somebody attacking them, but it allowed them to come together, right? They came together in fasting. They came together in all these things and attacking, right? It brought them together, but it's a reminder that the Lord will not forget about us. And it's a reminder that our loved ones, those who are out there, we think they're lost. The Lord has not forgotten them, right? My brother, Assam, was talking last week about what are we writing, and I want to just write right now, and I want to speak right now, right? Life to those that we feel are lost. Life to those loved ones in our life that we feel are gone. They're not gone. They're not forgotten, because the Lord remembers them, and we just pray in the name of Jesus that they hear the voice of the Lord when he calls them, that he hears the knocking on the door. And we pray in the name of Jesus that they can answer that knock and they can return, because we know that the will of the Father is that none of these little ones shall be lost. So this picture right here, this day of victory, I write it over my family members that are not saved, over your family members that are not saved. We write it over our loved ones, our neighbors, the community, this country, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Albert, you want to take it from here?
Thank you, gentlemen. I think it's like there's so much richness in the Word of God as we take it and we reflect on it. And nothing is by accident. All these stories and examples are here so that we can glean from them. So the challenge for us is to go back and look at chapter 9 again, as we will continue the remaining portion of this chapter next time, and glean some more. So with that, why don't we pray and say good night? All right, Father, I just thank you for your goodness over our life. I thank you, Father, for your provision. I thank you for the letters that you've already written, and those letters are written in Scripture for us, that we are overcomers, that you've already paid the price, that Satan has already been defeated, and the victory is already ours, and he who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it. I thank you for all these wonderful, amazing promises. I pray, Lord God, that you would help us to write these things down on paper, but also on the tablets of our heart, so that we might not sin against you, Lord God. I pray a blessing over every person that's here and those who couldn't make it tonight, Lord God. Just your faithfulness and your goodness, Lord God, your mercy to go before us. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen.